Welcome to all of you on this holy night. It's good to see all of you here tonight. We were talking right before Mass and someone said, I never heard of a church being filled 45 minutes before what was to begin. What an awesome testimony to your faith. In the past, I have shared certain parts of my own story with you. And by the way, welcome to our guests here tonight. Glad to have all of you here with us as well. And I shared how at a time of deep crisis, of anxiety and depression in my own life, I began this search for meaning and purpose in my life. And I have to tell you that whenever I began the search, I wasn't sure there was any meaning or purpose in this life. My world was very, very dark. I felt dead inside. God, who knows where God was in all of this for me? And one of the things that I did is I got involved in this small group that is very much like the Alpha Course that we offer here at Our Mother of Sorrows in St. Michael's. And that small group and my meeting being there, I was able to experience for the very first time in my life, the very first time, the risen Jesus Christ as alive and personal to me. It was the defining moment of my life. And the whole name of this course that I was taking at that time was called The Edge of Adventure. And the adventure, of course, is this discovery of the risen Jesus Christ as alive and personal in your life. And one of the chapters that really struck me the most in all of this was a chapter called Taking the Gamble. And in the particular chapter, the authors of the book and the course that we were taking were sharing their stories about how they had taken the gamble, how they had taken the risk. And I want to share with you tonight one of those stories. It's a story of a young man back at that time who was named Keith Miller. I want to pick up a story whenever he got his first job out of college, which was working for a major oil company in the southern part of Texas. And in this particular job that he had, he would drive extensively in southern Texas around the Mexican border in these deserts that were there, and he would ponder his life and ponder the meaning of it. And he wondered who this God was in his life as well. His father had just died. He had married his wife whenever they were seniors in college. And all this pondering, this wondering, all of a sudden came to a high point for him when he woke up his wife one night and said, I have to go to school. I have to find out about this God. Now, Keith Miller had no intention of being ordained to anything. But the people who he was talking to about all this said, well, you want to find out about God, you got to go to school. You got to go to the seminary. You got to go to graduate school. You got to get ordained to something, you know, somewhere along the way. So listening to all the different people who are telling him all these different things he's supposed to do, he takes his wife. They were expecting their first child. And as you imagine, as a young couple, they're very much in debt, and off they go. And it doesn't take him long to realize this was not the place for him. He said at one point that he saw this graduate school he went to, the religious version of everything he thought going on in the secular world. They were asked, he didn't know any of the answers to all the theological questions that they were pondering and asking, but he knew all the questions that people ask about their lives whenever they're about to die, when they feel empty, when they feel lost, and when they feel alone. And he said the seminary, or where he wasn't interested in any of those kinds of questions. And so after about four semesters of all this, he pretty much had it up to here with all this. His second child was on the way. He felt depressed. He felt like a huge failure. And so what does he do? But he goes and he drives off someplace by himself and recalls the moment like this. As I sat there weeping like a little boy, which I suddenly realized that's what I was inside, I looked up into the sky and I said, God, if there's anything you want in this stinking soul of mine, take it. Just take it. He reflects and says, that was a many long years ago. But something came into my life that night which has never ever left me. There wasn't any ringing of bells, flashing of lights or visions, but it was a deep intuitive realization of what it is that God wants of every man and every woman. I never knew, which I didn't know before. I realized God doesn't want a person's money. He doesn't want your possessions. He wants you. And if you try to give him yourself, you, he'll begin to show you a life like you've never ever known life before. He went on to say that he sat there and continued to cry, crying tears that were release of a lifetime of being completely absorbed in himself. And then he finally says, it took me a long time to understand and articulate just what had happened to me that day, but I knew to the core of my soul that I had made personal contact with the very purpose and meaning of my life. I started the car, and I went home. Now, I'm sure some of you may be saying to me right now, well, that happens to special people. That's not going to happen to me. But, oh, you are so, so wrong. That is meant to happen to you. That's meant to be your experience. To know and to experience this risen Jesus Christ as alive and personal to you. To know and to experience the meaning and the purpose of your life. To know and to make contact with the one who can make all those things happen for you. Let me go back for just a moment to the early church and what happened back then. Before Easter, they were the most disillusioned and defeated of people. I mean, they really wanted to believe in Jesus. I don't think they ever really got him, you know, before the Easter. They really wanted to make that all work, but they saw him die. I mean, he was dead, and they knew he was dead. And so the world, they thought, in their fear, must be right. This was all one great big stunt. None of it was true. Then after the resurrection, all of a sudden, these same individuals are so remarkably and profoundly transformed. And as one author says, it wasn't a minor adjustment in their lives. It was a major overhaul for them. And one author writes this when he says, no reasonable explanation has ever been given to account for their transformed lives except for the one that they gave. They had seen, they had experienced, they had personal contact with the risen Jesus Christ himself. And do you know where they most especially experienced Jesus as risen and alive? In the church. Through the church. This broken, wounded church of ours is where they experienced the risen Jesus Christ alive. And they said they most especially experienced the risen Jesus as alive and personal to them was their baptism. And over again when they celebrated the Eucharistic liturgy, and I'm going to include confirmation in all this too, those big three sacraments. And if those early church members were here, and it's our claim that they are here with us, they would tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is alive. He's present here in this place right now. Do you see him? Can you recognize him as present here in our midst? One author puts it clearly this way. This step of letting Jesus make personal contact with you is the beginning, and nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. You can believe in Jesus intellectually and admire him. You can say your prayers. You can be moral, decent, upright, and good, like many an atheist probably is. You can be religious and pious. You can get baptized. You can be deeply versed in philosophy. You can be a student of theology and still not open the door to Jesus Christ in your life. There's no substitute for that. No substitute. So folks, tonight, let you and I open the door to the risen Jesus Christ, who is personal and alive for you. Let's open the door to this God who cares for you, loves you, accepts you as you are just at this very moment, and let him set you on fire. The same fire that the early people in the early church did, that they changed the entire world. A fire that will help you to know the meaning and purpose of your life. The risen Jesus Christ is here tonight in this place. He's alive and wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. He's here. Where else would you want to be?